Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Welcome to the Fish Nerds Podcast. It's the latest about fish, fishing, and eating fish. I'm Dave.
And I'm Clay. Together we talk about fishy stuff that's happened to us, people we know, and other fish nerds we've seen. Anything is fair game, and it's a good bet Clay is too busy patting himself on the back to pay any attention to the podcast. Go
Yay! Yay! Clay's our hero! We have spatulas full of things to talk
about
today.
Spatulas, good.
We're going to talk about the reason we are cheering Clay on as a team, because a new fish was caught for the quest!
I'm a freaking hero!
Freaking hero is exactly correct. So we have that. We'll talk about how Stump the Fish Nerds is not quite working, but we'll kick out the number a few more times because we know there are people out there that are saying these guys are idiots.
Yes.
And we want them to challenge us.
Prove that we're idiots.
Next is the curse of the fall rainstorm.
Ooh, every year.
I.e. Dave's excuse why he's not holding up his end of the quest bargain. Then we'll talk about our Kickstarter project and how we're hopefully planning to create a book very soon.
Finally.
Finally. Giving up on everything. We're just doing it like we've always done it, just doing it ourselves.
Yeah, screw the man.
And then we have some cool fish nerd, fish in the news stuff.
And of course, this week in Fish Nerd Nation.
Of course. But let's get to the most important information, and is that fish number 42 is logged and in the freezer.
This is the biggest news since July 18th, 2012.
Imagine that. Over a year.
Over a year. For those who don't know, Dave and I have been on a quest, started in 2011, to catch and eat every kind of freshwater fish in New Hampshire. The goal was to finish the quest in 1 year.
Yeah, we thought, oh, you know, we'll give ourselves a full year just to make sure that we could get them all. And it seemed like a perfectly fine
time. It seemed easy. Nothing to it.
Yeah. So, nothing to
it. Turns out it was easy for the first 8 months. And then it got hard.
And it got really hard.
Really hard. So here we are 3 years in, and we're logging an average of one fish a year. Ooh.
Ouch. Ouch.
And the problem is there are 48 species of freshwater fish in New Hampshire, and we're really good at catching about 38 of those kind of fish. And the rest get really challenging.
But the thing is, it's not just us. It's not our ineptitude. It is nobody catches these fish.
And why would they?
Why would they? And, you know, you can go online and find all sorts of largemouth tactics, smallmouth tactics, like a million ways to catch northern pike and rainbow trout. Try to find a technique to catch a creek chub sucker. Ooh, I dare
no
you.
No one knows. Even the people who are experts at microfishing, like microfishing.com, have a hard time with some of these species.
Yeah, there's just absolutely nobody fishes for them. So, you know, we're pioneers. Yeah. We're like Buzz Aldrin and... Others.
The other guy. Buzz and the guy who was the second person to step on the moon.
Neil Armstrong, right?
Which one was first? I'm so useless.
I think Neil was.
Ah, crap. All right.
I think they both, at least one of them went to Purdue University, which I did too.
Right, and that's where chickens come from.
That's true.
Where Frank went. Always good to start with a Frank Purdue reference, anything you're doing.
Good rule of thumb,
yeah.
But quest fish, quest. What, Clay, what was number 42?
Number 42 was a long nose sucker.
Awesome.
Beautiful little fish. And that was not my target fish that day.
Oh, do tell.
My target fish, I went from my house, there's a about a 45 minutes north and west. There's a river called the Ammonoosuc River. It runs from Mount Washington out to the Connecticut River.
And oh, pretty spot.
What's that?
It's a pretty spot.
It's beautiful.
Right?
It's beautiful. And I was looking for northern red-bellied dace. And I actually wasn't planning on fishing that river at all. I was planning on driving past that river to Whitefield, New Hampshire, where I know the red-bellied dace live. My kids got impatient with the drive and said, "Dad, Dad, can we go swimming?" And I said, "Sure."
So really, it's your kids we should be thanking.
They are heroes. Yeah, Sam and Zoe. Yeah.
Nice.
So we found this great spot, pulled off the road, and walked down this little path, and it was a deep hole in the river where you can see like 6 feet deep to the bottom. Water's crystal clear. And then upstream to my left was some shallow riffles. So I sent my kids, like, "Go ahead, play in those riffles and cross the river and play in the sand, and I'm going to fish." And so I tied on a little hook, and I took a tiny piece of worm, and I dropped it in the water with I had a split shot about 4 inches up from the worm. And first of all, the first time it hit the water, is a brook trout attacked it.
Oh, nice.
I know. What a pain.
Pesky, yeah, rotten.
Beautiful fish. Little brookie. I didn't land him. He just shook the hook. And then threw it back out again, and I kept noticing these huge schools of black-nosed dace. I mean, they were everywhere. And we're talking like, I was describing them as like as the zombies in World War Z, just a horde of fish. They just come in, like thousands of them, just attacking this tiny fleck of worm. Like there must be no food in that river to have that level of attack. And I just sat there, you know, catching dace after dace and just staring at the water. And I kept seeing little smaller fish, not smaller than dace, but small fish, swimming around in the bottom of the big herd of dace.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so I looked, I stared for a while, and I'm like, "Oh my gosh, those are suckers." And I couldn't tell white sucker or long nose sucker. Mm-hmm. But I suspected long nose because, we had the data from electroshock surveys. But also, I had spent a good part of the spring trying to spear long nose suckers near that spot, looking for the spawning, and I never found the spawn. And so I suspected that's who was there. And so I kept trying to get my worm down to these little fish, and these black nose dace were just too much. I couldn't get past them. I know, it's frustrating. So days after days after days. And then finally, I remember way back to my gold fishing experiment, which is you have to stop doing what you're doing and try something different. Because I was getting the same thing over and over again. So this time I just took the little split shot, slid it all the way down so it touched the hook. This is real hook and bullet stuff here.
Yeah.
And dropped it down, was able to get past the dace, and a little tiny, like 4 inch long nose sucker swallowed my bait. Oh, and there he was.
Evan.
There he was. And I got two in a row. Boom, boom. And I still wasn't convinced it was a long nose sucker.
Well, the nice thing, you know, fishing has evolved, right? So, you know, people back in, I always think of Andy Griffith as the old times, but, you know, you see Opie with his little cane pole around, you know, and that's, you're out there fishing and that's all there is. Now, even though Clay was out there by himself, he's an electric, electronic contact with me during this. So I keep getting these pictures being texted to me.
Yeah, very exciting.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, "Hey, I got this." It's a black nose dace, I think. Oh, yeah, black nose dace. And it's like, "Hey, I think this is it." And sends a picture of from what I could tell, sort of a mysterious sucker. But you did the right thing and got a good shot of the lips. Because with suckers, the key is the lips.
Who knew? I was looking at the nose. Because it's long nose versus white sucker, you know.
Yeah, but the lips, apparently, like, you could open up like a Peterson guide to freshwater fishes, and you will see just sketches of the lips of all these suckers. And they all have the very distinct, almost like a fingerprint kind of thing going on. And white suckers have kind of a big lower lip, and long nose suckers are, it's split almost in half, almost completely, you know, disconnected. And sure enough, on those pictures, you could clearly see that it has a split lip.
I win.
You win. We win.
We win. So that's fish number 42. We have six fish left.
Six fish.
So at the pace we're going,
yeah,
you're going to be 50.
Kids will be graduating from college. Mine will. Yours won't. Mine will.
I hope mine, yeah. So,
well, we have high hopes because this fall, my in-laws come up every year for Columbus Day, and we rented a house on Silver Lake. And Silver Lake is one of the six lakes in New Hampshire that house Lake Whitefish.
Right, and we've had so much luck on that lake in the past hunting whitefish that we're sure this will be the day.
It could be. It's going to be a better chance than not fishing
indeed.
Silver Lake.
Indeed. And you'll have the whole weekend. And I was reading about whitefish.
Yeah.
And when the water turns colder, they move into the rocky shoals to spawn.
Oh, and this cabin is on a rocky shoal.
Maybe you can sit at your beach and just fish.
I know.
The question is, do they eat when they're spawning? A lot of fish, when they're spawning, aren't hungry.
Oh, wouldn't that just... That would be so disgusting.
But they are in the salmon and trout family, right? And most of those fish spawn very angrily and will attack spoons and flies and stuff just because they're pissed off.
Spawn angrily.
Angry,
huh?
Spawners. Yeah. Angry. So.
Do they have makeup spawn after?
It's the opposite.
Yeah, I guess, huh?
Yeah.
But yeah, hopefully. The Lake Whitefish will succumb to the Dave and Clay joggernaut that is now the
joggernaut.
The fish. Yeah, I know. Mm. The fishing quest. So
yeah, well, let's talk a little more about the long nose sucker. Give him his due.
We have a full year worth of due to give him.
Ah,
so,
this
yeah,
poor little fish. You know, and I had not ever touched one before, and they have to kill a fish the first time you ever see it. Like, hey, look, there's a new thing I've never seen in my whole life. I'm going to kill it. And I had to deal with this emotionally.
Going
to
eat
and
it.
Not only I had to deal with it, my 3-year-old, my 6-year-old had to deal with this fish. Terribly, terribly emotional. And actually, my kids are pretty good about it because they've been through this a number of times, like 42 times.
Well, and they're your kids.
And they're my kids. So they know what to expect. But still, I'm trying to get photos of these fish. My kids are there. I'm having them hold the fish for me and try to arrange things. And the whole time, they're like, Dad, you're going to kill the fish. It's dying. I'm like, I know it's going to die because I'm going to eat it. And they're like, but he's dying. Got to put him back in the water. And just the whole, it's hard for a 6-year-old to watch an animal die.
But it is.
But they do.
Yes.
To tough it up, kid. Rub some dirt in your eye. Get over it.
Well, this is coming from the kids where you had one of them on your shoulders while you were spearing suckers.
Well, that was Sam.
This
She's
year,
3,
right?
And she is a psychopath. So that's different.
Nice.
No, but my kids are good. They understand, you know, we're only killing them for sport. No, we're only killing
them. No, we're
killing them because we're going to eat
them. We're killing them for fame.
Yeah, for fame and fortune and for our book. And so, and you know, our kids, and your kid too, Dave, being raised by parents who do weird stuff, they don't know that every parent doesn't do stuff like this.
That's true.
You know, I think you started a marching band when your kid was little.
That's true.
And your
true.
Kid assumed and all dads started marching bands. My kid thinks every dad's on a quest. And they might be, but they don't all talk about it. But we have to figure out how to eat this fish. How do you cook a long nose sucker? Especially one that's only 4 inches long.
Right.
That's the trick. And we haven't killed and eaten a fish in a year. Over a year. So we really need to make this recipe special. So what do you think? Mm. What should we do?
Well, we could open up to the vast crowds of people listening to this podcast and take suggestions.
Good. Yeah. Hmm. So if you have an idea on how to cook a long-nosed sucker, please email us at longnosedsucker@fishnerds.com and tell us your favorite sucker recipe. And maybe we'll try it.
Yeah. And you could also give us a call, too, if you want. The number is 607-378-3474. That's 607-378-FISH.
Which, incidentally, is our Fish Nerds hotline. So,
did you see that transition?
Look at you.
Beautiful.
Did. You're a hero. Not quite the same kind of hero I am, but still. Hero. Just the same. So, Stump the Fish Nerds. We have this great segment on our well, we think it's great. It's fun for us. Called Stump the Fish Nerds. Anyone who has a fishing question about fish, fishing, or eating fish, anything fish-related, even relationships questions, you can call them in, and we will play them on the air, and we'll give you a good, honest answer with your fish problem.
Yes. Yeah.
And I'd say we've been right 100% of the time so far.
I believe so. I think we're stumping the world.
Yes. So bring them on. If you have a question, please, let's make this segment work. And we will remind you on Facebook on a weekly basis to get those questions in. So get them in.
So. Yes. So that's Stump the Fish Nerds. You know, I had planned, it was the holiday weekend. I had this plan after being motivated by your success.
Isn't it exciting? Like you want to go out and catch the next fish.
Yeah, exactly. Because
if I remember correctly, I caught number 41 as well.
Oh, and number 40. Okay. Okay. Yeah. All right.
If you're keeping, if you're keeping score.
Yeah, I guess you have.
Yeah.
But so I had zeroed in on thinking, all right, I have a shot at the Creek Chubsucker. Pawtuckaway Lake is where Fish and Game commented that they caught a big one. I know the area that they caught it in. Labor Day weekend, I'm going to go out and do this. So I was all set, had a bunch of little things to do, everything kind of piled up. So I was it pushed it till Monday. But, you know, it's a 3-day weekend.
It's Labor
I could
Day.
Do
it's
it.
Perfect. You got a job and the day off. Why not?
Why not? I had it all lined up. And then the flood, literally a flood. So New Hampshire, pretty much all over the state, has flash flood warnings, I think,
it's
currently.
It's terrible outside.
I don't get it.
And it's terrible, and I think these good intentions always end with terrible storms.
They do, no matter
Isn't
what.
Is that the old saying?
Like, I think yeah. so, yeah. yeah. Like red sky in the morning ends in a terrible storm.
Yeah. By the way, that mackerel sky thing you taught me doesn't work. Doesn't work. My daughter and I were outside last week looking at the sky, and I said, that's called a mackerel sky. And I told her the saying, which I already forgot. Was it mackerel sky?
Mackerel sky, 3 days dry.
3 days dry. So, right. So I left my windows down in my car that night, and it poured down rain. So that's your fault. That's on you, Dave.
I must say, I've been I haven't intended to, although I think I'm going to start doing this more and more, is feeding you bad information and then enjoying what happens
afterwards.
Oh, you
afterwards. Wait till I go lobster fishing.
And you pee in the middle of the
that's
boat.
That's right. But Dave told me to.
Well, so the other day, and I didn't intend, although I think this is a great joke if anybody wants to try it, Clay was coming down to go fishing, and we ended up doing bluefish, and he stopped off. He said, hey, I'm stopping at Dick's Sporting Goods. Do you want anything? I'm like, yeah, pick me up some Deadly Dicks.
So I went in there thinking, all right, well, Deadly Dicks, they must make them and sell them in this store. No. No, I went to the guy in the sporting goods department, and I said, hey, I'm looking for a Deadly Dick. And he just stared at me. Mumbled something about being married and not interested. I don't know what he was talking about. And I said, no, it's a bluefish lure and it's called a Deadly Dick. And like, he goes, well, our bluefish lures are over here. And he tries very hard to be patient with me.
Well, he works at Dick's.
Yeah, I know. Like, the name of your store is right on it. It's got to be there. So then he's looking. He goes, what's it called again? Diabolical Dick? I said, no, it's Deadly Dick. And so he kept getting it wrong. And I think he was doing it on purpose. But after a brief Google search, we found it existed, but just not in that store. Or any nice. Dick's Sporting Goods, for that matter. So nice. I don't think they make it. But thanks, Dave. Thanks for that.
I enjoyed that very much. I'm gonna think about what the next
because I'll do it. I'm in. But come on.
Oh, that was beautiful.
All right, so you went fishing today, Labor Day.
Well, I wanted to.
You wanted to. You should have gone.
But well, I should have went. But it was everything was flooded and raining like crazy all day today. And I think tomorrow maybe there's a shot. Because those streams that we've actually fished a week ago that were just stagnant and horrible, I think now are rejuvenating.
Oh, I bet the fish are going, oh, I can breathe. Finally, yes, some fresh water, cool air. Boy. Nice.
I bet yes. They get really excited and probably feed like crazy while they have the chance.
Gotta be full of insects.
Yeah, just like everything terrestrial, flowing
like
in.
Ants and stuff like that would be really good.
Yeah, exactly. So, tomorrow, I'll give it a shot.
You know what I was thinking today during the big storm? I was outside walking my dog, and there was no wind. And the only thing I kept thinking was, right now would be a great time to be on Silver Lake fishing for whitefish. Because the wind is what wrecks that fishing. You're fishing it down at 80 or 100 feet deep below the boat. And if it's windy, you can't do it. And I kept thinking, who would notice if I went out there right now? And then the thunder came in, and I went, someone would kill me.
I'd be dead. That's true. So. But that's a good segue into Fish Nerd Nation.
Yeah.
Because currently up on Fish Nerd Nation, there is a woman talking about why when lightning strikes and hits the ocean, it doesn't kill all the fish.
You know, I never even thought about it until I saw the question. I was like, really? It should kill them all.
It should, right? I mean, they use electricity to stun fish for, you know, fish surveys and things like that.
And you learn that salt water is really highly conductive and therefore blah, 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 you know, dangerous.
Right, and... Right, exactly. So, but apparently the ocean has what they call this skin effect. I don't know if that's real or not, but basically when the lightning hits, it dissipates across the surface and only affects a few meters down. So any fish that is more than 6 feet deep is fine. So who knew?
Well, she knew. She knew.
She did know, yes.
She's a fish nerd.
She is. She's a science nerd and a fish nerd.
She is.
But that's on... Yeah, it's on Fish Nerd Nation. So if you're interested in that or any more cool facts, check out Fish Nerd Nation. We're now getting, I think we're up to over 100 clips on Fish Nerd Nation. So now you can start searching for things and start finding all sorts of video clips on trout and bass and anything you're looking for.
Yeah, and one of the things we do for you is we go on YouTube and other channels. We find those 8-minute long videos. They have about 30 seconds of content that's worth watching, and we edit them down to the 30 seconds that's worth your time.
Yes.
So you can and get you, through the information without getting through all that time.
Right. And you still have the links to see the full video, so you have that opportunity. But, you know, really there's only about 30 seconds of good footage for most things.
Right. Unless it's one of our videos, in which case the whole thing is highly valuable.
And we put it all up there. That's
every
true.
Every second. It's a beautiful thing.
So now it's time for Fish in the News.
Fish in the News.
So there's two. The first story comes to us from Scientific America. Scientific American. Some guys, where were they from? University of Cambridge. Cambridge.
No wonder.
Yes. These guys were studying leadership. And, of course, when you think leadership, you think fish, right?
I think stickleback.
Apparently, stickleback are famous for their leadership.
Everyone knows this.
Yeah, I know. They're head of companies and things like
well,
that.
Well, their fin pattern reminds me of, like, admirals, like in the Navy.
Oh, there
it
you go.
They're it all... doesn't really. I made that up. It doesn't. I just sounded good when I first said it, and I looked at a picture of the fish, but it doesn't at all.
There's nothing there. Well, so these scientists were trying to figure out if leadership is basically genetic or not, and if there's leaders and followers, and can you mix it up with basically behavior changes or environmental changes. So they looked at the fish, the stickleback fish, and stickleback, apparently some of them are well, okay, so they said the nature of leaders and followers using pairs of fish. Sticklebacks are well known for showing individual differences in boldness, such as when foraging. So when they emerge from safe cover to a risky foraging area, the bolder fish are more likely to initiate collective movement, while the shyer animals tend to follow.
Which, by the way, makes sense.
That bolder fish would lead the way?
Yeah. Just like people. Yeah. The first one out there is the leader.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So and I didn't realize sticklebacks were well known for this.
You didn't know that?
No.
You're the only one. It's common sense. Everyone knows that.
Hence the common saying, boy, you're a leader like a stickleback.
That's right. That's the old saying, you know. You got the leadership qualities of a stickleback. Well, my resume says that. You know, I think of myself as a stickleback. Nice. You want to know why I'm unemployed? There it is, right there.
Stickleback. So according to the researchers, they said, quote, "We forced the pairs of fish to take opposite roles to see if they could switch with a little training. The shy fish was rewarded with a small amount of food every time it initiated collective movement, regardless of whether it was followed by the bolder partner or not. The bolder fish was also rewarded every time it followed the shyer member, but not when it emerged from safe cover by itself. In this way, we trained pairs to swap their natural roles and compared their behavior to pairs that assumed their natural roles."
That's just basic conditioning. I don't see anything there. Scientific America, come on. That's just conditioned response.
Yeah, exactly. So, however, so they expected the roles to switch. However, the results were completely opposite. For both bold and shy individuals, the tendency to lead is much less flexible than the tendency to follow. So the bold fish readily adapted to following, but the shy fish could not be trained to lead, even when it learned to stop following the other fish. So no, even if you gave them food and everything, they didn't want to stick their little stickleback necks out and lead the group.
That's not a surprise at all. That's like one of those science projects that just confirms common sense that sticklebacks do what they're going to do.
Yeah, they're going to do what they're going to do.
I mean, every person I know is like that. You know, anyone you know who's a natural born leader could do a great job as a leader, and they can do a great job working on a team. And the people who just aren't good leaders just never are. They always are great followers. So yeah, I guess they're just proving what we know using sticklebacks. I want to see that done again using Black Nose Days. Because they're always sticking their nose. Never mind. But it's got to be like, I don't know, like how do they pick those fish? Like they're well known for sticking their nose out.
Yeah, like, I don't get it. And it does seem like, I think it's linked to the fact that nobody fishes for them.
Except us.
Because if they were, and people did fish for them and enjoyed fishing for them, all the bold ones would be caught first.
Oh, and you'd have all
shy sticklebacks that would be difficult to catch, and then all the fly fishermen would go, oh, yes, I caught 3 sticklebacks.
Yes, I was using my my vintage hook with I can't even think. I can't.
Vintage hook? That's the best you could come up with.
Fly fishing terms. I was like, I had all this stuff. I was going to say it. I was like,
I used a Royal Coachman.
My Royal Coachman hackle, you know, with dog fur attached. I don't know. I can't do it. I'm out.
Dog fur.
I got nothing. I got my dog fur. By the way, I have a antique fly tying kit that has polar bear fur in it.
Ooh, that is cool.
Yeah. Guess how many flies I've tied.
But polar bear fur, that will get you arrested.
I don't have that. I made it up because I am a liar.
Oh,
it's faux
yeah.
polar bear fur with bald eagle feathers.
Dodo hackle.
Dodo hackle. Love it.
All right. So there's kind of funny stickleback. But I bet some listeners didn't know that they were famous for their leadership stickleback.
I feel like we need to announce that.
You know, that's what we're all about, Clay. We're all about bringing this kind of information.
It's important. Did you know that sticklebacks are known for their leadership ability? The more you know.
That's right.
The more you know.
There you go.
Okay, good.
Which takes us to another well-known fish, the sea lamprey.
Sea lamprey, also known for their leadership.
That's true. they're more known for their empathy, I think. So UNH, our beloved University of New Hampshire, lamprey researchers win competitive grant.
Yay!
Yay! A University of New Hampshire team studying lampreys has received $750,000.
That's a lot of money.
From the That is a
like,
lot
I'm,
of money.
I remember hearing that kind of money. I'm like, wow, that's a lot of money. And to them, it's not.
Yeah. National Science Foundation. I bet it's a lot of money to them.
I bet.
For those who don't know, this is from the story, not us. What a sea lamprey is, it's the jawless fish. Wait, what? How's this sentence work? For those who don't know what a lamprey is, the jawless fish look like eels. They are a species older than the dinosaurs.
That's true.
That is true.
That's true. They got it right.
Yeah, and people often think they're eels. They call them lamprey eels, not eels.
Right, no. Which they're still wrong.
Yeah. But UNH professor Stacia Sowers, which we met years ago, by the way.
Yeah, I know Stacia.
Yeah.
I bet she doesn't know us.
I bet she doesn't either. The team examines the reproductive hormones of the lamprey. Since the fish is one of the oldest and most basic vertebrate species out there, Sauer says, it can tell scientists a lot about other vertebrates, including humans. We can help provide insight into how some of these hormones and receptors are functioning in vertebrates. Some of these systems are very complex, and we're looking at a much simpler plan that can help us unravel some of the many questions we have. There you go.
There you go. There's one more sentence on this whole thing. The story is on New Hampshire Public Radio. It's an interesting story. They don't go into it at all. And I don't really care about the story so much as the fact that they have this lamprey story and an opportunity to really talk about sea lampreys. And they write maybe 100 words in an article about sea lampreys.
I know.
And they
don't really
talk about what they're doing, you know, with the lampreys.
I know. You know what they need is a Car Talk-like show on public radio that would say focus on fish and give the listeners what they want, which is more fish information.
Right. So when they're talking about sea lampreys and talking about how old it is, they could talk about what they know, more stuff, which I don't know. I am. I'm not talking much about it. I'm just thinking about a long-nosed sucker. That's all I keep thinking about.
I know. You're basking in the fame of Fish 42.
I'm just not focused. But the lampreys don't get any respect anywhere. And New Hampshire's no better than most as far as showing that level of respect. And probably the problem is they got such a bad rap in the Great Lakes that nobody wants to really talk about them.
Yeah.
Plus they think they're gross.
Yeah, they are. Well, yeah, they are blood-sucking adult fish that suck the fluids out of other fish. And when they got in the Great Lakes, they did cause extra problems to the lake trout, although people overfishing them and ruining habitat didn't help any either. But yeah, they do get cursed in the Great Lakes region for sure.
So show some respect talking about lampreys.
I know. They're native fish, and they're worth $750,000 to the National
That's
Science
Foundation.
That's
a lot of money.
It's a lot of money, yes, to unlock the hormone questions.
So I also read once that they were using lampreys to study like how to fix like severed spinal cords and stuff like that.
I heard that too, because they have kind of a nice big basic spinal cord that they can work on.
And they can regenerate their spinal cord.
I tell you, they're like the superheroes of the fish world.
Yeah. And you could eat them. So
you can eat them.
You shouldn't.
We've eaten them. Yeah, I wouldn't say it's a good idea, but we have eaten them. They tasted like old shrimp when we ate them.
At least we shared it with other people. So.
And they ate it up, by the way.
They did.
They did. So yeah, there's sea lamprey news. You don't get that every day.
No, which is okay. But when you do get it, you should ask more questions to get a little deeper into it. I always thought public radio should have just really a deeper story on that one. It was like 30 seconds on the radio, and it was over, and I was just starting to understand it. And like, oh, come on. So
I know. Well, that's why we're here, Clay.
That's why we're here. So we are out of things to talk about, it looks like.
We are, and hopefully by the next podcast, I will have a creek chub sucker. I say that about every time.
every single time.
Yeah, but it could happen.
Yeah, but listen, are you a fish nerd? Do you know a fish nerd? If you answered yes to either of these questions, you could be a fish nerd correspondent. If you're interested, email us at nerds@fishnerds.com. We're looking for people to help us advance the fish nerd cause. So If you have ideas on how to help us out or you want to be involved with us in any way, please drop us a line and we'll tell you how to get involved with us.
Yeah, and especially, I mean, we have so there's so much good fish stuff out there. There's just absolutely not enough time for us to do it.
We need help.
Getting more people in the show is a great idea. So please give us a call. Just say, hey, I'm a fish nerd. How can I get involved? And we'll find a way, because there's plenty to do.
There's lots to do. The other thing too is if you haven't done so already, make your way over to iTunes and find the Fish Nerds podcast on iTunes. Subscribe to it. Give it a 5-star rating and make a comment for us. We haven't figured out how to make any money podcasting yet, so our payment is you leaving a comment and a 5-star rating. Also, go to Fish Nerds on our Facebook page, hit the like button, share our stuff with all of your nerdy friends, even your less nerdy friends would be fine. But support our stuff and let's get it going.
Yeah, this fall I think we're going to do a big push, because we also have a Kickstarter program. Yes. That's going to be starting very soon.
We'll be asking you for money to help publish our book because nobody else wants to give it to us.
Well, it's a pledge. It's a pledge. Now I sound like, you know, public radio. It's a pledge that is a vote for fish nerds everywhere. You know, that cup of coffee that you buy in the morning.
40 cents, you know, a day. And that 40 child cents a Africa day gets to eat. Or you can help Dave and Clay publish a book.
So anyway, when Kickstarter gets kicking, that's going to be an opportunity for, especially for folks to chime in with their vote of confidence, i.e. cash, and clue in others that we're trying to do this, because it takes a village to write a book, apparently. It
takes money.
it takes a lot
of money. So we'll get it all worked out on Kickstarter. So that's coming soon. So stay tuned and we'll give those details as we get them.
Okay, well, I think that wraps it up for this edition of Fish Nerd
Podcast. Hey, Dave, this is our 15th podcast.
Hey, happy anniversary.
Happy Fishiversary. We should write an ending to our podcast for our 16th one.
Yes.
You know, we're trying to write a book. We should be able to write an ending to our podcast.
You would think.
So, if you have a good ending to our podcast, please email us to endingofthepodcast@fishnerds.com and we will use it. So. Oh, I also have to give a shout out to our 150th Facebook fan.
Hey.
Yeah, who was our? I forgot his name. I said I'll give you. Oh wait, yeah, his name is Fraser. Fraser Price from England.
Oh, awesome!
Yeah, actually,
we're international.
We are international. I worked with him at a summer camp this year, so he looks like C-3PO. If C-3PO was a human.
Sweet.
Yeah. So.
So. All right. So we're international podcast.
That's right. We're semi-famous.
That's awesome.
All right.
All right. So live long and prosper.
Okay. That's not a good ending.
Dang.
All right. Fishnerds.com.